Okay, if you would, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. So we have been going through the book of Romans. Last week we talked and presented the great truth of verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The world is decaying. Civilization is decaying. Creation is decaying. Mankind's genetic makeup is decaying. The whole creation groaning, waiting, hoping for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many don't know, even know what they're looking for. But we do. The Bible says same thing about the believers. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for us? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We have the great picture here of the earth groaning. And even the saved people of God groaning, waiting for the redemption. And speaks of the hope that is ahead of us. And the hope even that the creation has of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that context, that's where we're getting to. Verse 26, because that's where we're going to be at today. Likewise. That's always got to stop when you get to that word. Likewise. What's the comparison? What's the like comparison that starts off verse 26? That gives us the context. There's at least two comparisons. One is the comparison of infirmity, and the second comparison is the comparison of hope. And it's using the context of the infirmities of the world and of the creation, pointing to the coming of Christ and the redemption of the world and of our body. And the hope that we have and the resulting influence it has in our lives to live for God and to look forward to His coming and to continue to do right. Of course, that's all contained in that word patience. The endurance under difficulties and trials and weakness because of the future event, the coming of the Lord. And it's amazing how much of the world, because it does not have a hope of the coming of the Lord, and much of the world has no knowledge of the coming of the Lord, much of the world is in ignorance of the coming of the Lord, and they live like it. Even as the Lord said, that the servant who said, the Lord's return is being delayed, he will get drunken and he will beat the servants, etc., because the idea that the Lord is delaying his coming, that's the day in which we live in. sad to say, much of our government and much of our leaders, much of our people of our nation are living as though God isn't returning. and living a rampant life of sin and debauchery and wickedness. And we aren't going to rehearse all of that. It would be defiling in people's ears to know what's really going on. And it's kind of like in the Old Testament, it told the people of Israel, when you see these idols, burn them up. Don't even ask the people about them, because it would defile your mind. And in one sense of the word, that's exactly so today. There's so much wickedness going on that just defile your minds. But in that context, we have likewise the Spirit. And of course, the chapter, Romans 8, is about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 is about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he's getting back to the main theme. He's used this sidelight. They just talked about the groaning of creation, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And gets back to the main subject, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the whole chapter is talking about the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. The Holy Spirit has a tremendous ministry in the heart and the life of a believer. It's real. Now, a person who's not saved, what a disconnect. What a disconnect. A life that is just completely ignorant of the realities of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And those that are saved, that walk with God, the wonderful realities of the tremendous ministry of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6, John chapter 7, talks about that the Holy Spirit would be in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This wonderful, constant, fresh stream of life, of energy, of spiritual power, of spiritual life within our souls. And if you're saved, there's a huge difference between dead religion and the real thing. And one of the big differences is the Holy Spirit comes to live in your soul the minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so, but you know, the context is, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That's the context. The groaning of the soul of mankind. The inward groanings, the weaknesses of every person. You know, some people have a lot of physical weakness. And some people have a lot of emotional weakness. And some people have weakness of mind. And some people just have weakness of soul. Some people have weakness of ability. Some people, and all of us, have weakness in the battle against sin. And we all are weak in the ministry that God has called us to. We're all weak, and we all have our inabilities. The Bible calls them infirmities. And we have here the introduction of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. First of all, in a very general way, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Oh, isn't that great? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this is both physical and spiritual. Yeah, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is real. He helps us in our infirmities. A person has to be humble enough to understand their infirmities and the weaknesses. Some of us are in the generation that you stand at the refrigerator and you say, did I just put something in? Or am I standing here to get something out? You know? Or more likely, you go to the shop and you say, what did I go here to get? Can't remember. You know? Well, you know what? That's an infirmity. And do you know what? You know what you do? I know what I do. I pray. God, why am I here? Lord, what am I looking for? Why did I come out here, Lord? You know, someone is at my house the other day and he says, can't find my glasses. And I said, I just saw them 5 minutes ago. And they were right there. And he says, yeah, I saw them too, but I can't find them right now. Well, you know, that's when you pray, you know. And they were tucked right in his collar there. The Spirit of God helps our infirmities. You know, some people have to recognize that they have an emotional weakness. They have an instability of their emotions. What do you want to do? Live by a weakness of emotions? Some people have more so than others. The Spirit of God helps our infirmities. Amen? The Holy Spirit has a tremendous work in our life. And it doesn't matter where you are in life, the Holy Spirit is there to help your infirmities, whatever they be, mental or even physical. You know, God can give you physical strength. God can give you physical strength. And it's very real. Maybe you'd like to be a 25-year-old and you're 80, but you won't be able to get that far. But he can give you physical strength for the task that you need. Now, this is a general principle of the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the Apostle Paul had an infirmity. I think it was a physical infirmity. I think the infirmity was his eyesight. There's a couple incident inferences to the fact that it was eyesight. He told the Galatians that he reminded them how that when they were saved, they were so thankful that they would have given him their eyes. They would have given him their eyes. They recognized he had a difficulty in seeing. It's a very real thing. An evangelist that many of you know now is in his 80s, evangelist Ron Comfort. At one point in his life, the doctors told him he was going to lose his eyesight. And so he proceeded to memorize the whole New Testament in preparation for the day that he would lose his eyesight. But somehow the Lord reversed that situation. And for years he thought about transplant, different things like that. He was an infirmity, made his life difficult. One of my pastors in my career was legally blind. He could not drive. And if he went visiting, someone always had to drive him. And when he preached, he had his magnifying glass, and he would read the scriptures and with his magnifying glass. And one thing I remember, his notes for his sermons he wrote real large, you know, big letters, because he couldn't see well. And Apostle Paul He said to one of the churches, notice the large letter that I have written unto you. It wasn't large in length, it was large in size. Okay? And this was his infirmity, I believe, among many others. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly," Paul then responds, "therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." He said all these infirmities, all these situations were an opportunity for him to experience personally the power and the grace and the strength that God specifically gave to him. And he experienced the Holy Spirit ministering to his infirmities. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit ministers to us in our infirmities. It's interesting. He helpeth our infirmities. The word help, very interesting picture, is the picture of carrying the other end. You know, out there in the sawmill, sometimes there's some pretty heavy slabs of wood. And, you know, they're pretty heavy. But you know, when you got someone other on the other end, the job is a lot easier. And that's the picture of the Holy Spirit. We're carrying this heavy burden, and he's saying, "Wait, hey, let me take the other end." And he helps us. He helps carry the load in every area of our life as we realize the fact that we are sinners and there's weakness within our being. And so this is a general principle that we need to rejoice in. The Holy Spirit helping us in our infirmities. You know, the Apostle Paul, he rejoiced that the fact is that he didn't have to depend on his great ability to speak and to wow people with the flowers of his wording, etc. But that he, in his weakness, he could depend on the Holy Spirit to make his message what it ought to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "In my speech," he says, "and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Is that how you picture the Apostle Paul? "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." The great Apostle Paul. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, there's some tremendous speech writers in the world. And they can make a political candidate sound like a very viable, worthwhile politician. But you know, there was somebody who wrote that speech. And for many of them, most of the speech is just a bunch of lies. But you know, the Apostle Paul said, I don't have to come to you with big flowery words. I don't have to impress you with man's wisdom. He says, I'm depending on the work of the Holy Spirit. That what simple truths I say will go right to your soul. And the Spirit of God will work. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And, you know, if you don't think you're weak, then you're proud. And you can't be used of God. God has nothing for you because you don't need him. And if you don't think you're weak, you won't be able to get much done anyhow because you are weak. And it won't be very successful. But if you're, if you think that you're strong and you're going to make something happen for God, probably it's not going to work because you're going to do it in your own strength, not in God's strength. What a great ministry. But now he specifically tells us how, one of the specific ways, the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. A specific ministry of the Holy Spirit is assisting us, helping us in our prayer life. Last week we talked about, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And now he is telling us that one of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit in man's infirmities, in man's difficulties, in the situations of life that man sees as weakness, there is a tremendous ministry for the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, the Bible tells us lots of things about how to pray. Luke 18 tells us how we're supposed to persevere in prayer. The Bible tells us we're supposed to watch and pray in temptation. The Lord Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer that told us the things that the general areas of life that we should be praying about. But what about the specific enunciation of what we should pray for and how we should pray those things? Have you ever gotten up been in a situation and you feel like crying out to God, but you don't know what to say? How many times you go to the Bible, you go to the scriptures in the morning and you say, Lord, I just need your help. I don't even know how I need your help, but I need your help. Amen. We don't even know how to pray. But we know we're weak. We know we have needs. And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit has a ministry of our infirmity, specifically in our prayer life. And think about this. The Apostle Paul, he asked God to take away the infirmity of his flesh. And God said, no. Well, it seems to me like the Apostle Paul didn't know what to pray for, did he? He was praying for something that God didn't want him to have taken away. And when God ministered to him, he said, no, I don't want you to pray that prayer. I don't want you to pray that prayer. I don't want you praying that prayer. God, take away this infirmity of my flesh. He says, nope, I don't want you to pray that prayer. You know, he says, the prayer I want you to pray is centered around my grace is sufficient for thee. God, Lord, give me the strength, the grace to be able to bear up under this infirmity and find your strength. That's what God wanted him to pray for. He didn't know how to pray, but he had to look to God, and God told him how to pray and what to pray. And many times we're in that same situation. But it's this Holy Spirit has this tremendous ministry of guiding us in our prayer life. And he specifically did it for the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, in the weakness, found the grace of God, found the strength of God. And so he said, in all these weaknesses and persecutions and infirmities and all of these things, I glory because now I know how to pray. I know how to look to God and lean upon God. And now I have hope. And that's where the context comes with Romans 8. Well, the parallel, infirmity and hope. And you know, when you know what to pray for, you know what? Now you have hope. Hope has always causes us to look to the future with an expectation. Amen. And many people say, well, how do I pray how do I know what to pray? How can I know that God's going to answer my prayer? Because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, helps us know how to pray. And it tells us how it does this. For, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Now, Jesus is interceding to the Father. The Holy Spirit is interceding in us. He's interceding in us. He says he's interceding for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is speaking of groanings which cannot be uttered. It's speaking of an influence of the Spirit of God in our souls. Now, what is this influence? There's a lot of things we could say about this. He's guiding our minds to suitable, someone has said he's guiding our minds to suitable petitions. He's exciting in them the correspondent affections, inspiring us to intense ardor. He is directing us to pray. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at that passage for a minute. Just want to point out something. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, and be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Well, it's pretty simple. You ever worry about something? You're anxious about something? And you're all bewildered about something? And the Holy Spirit says, that's not what you're supposed to do. It's not helping. It's not helping worrying about it. Now, if you can do something about it, you're supposed to do it. But a lot of worry is about something that's never going to happen. And a lot of worrying about is something that we can't do anything about. He says, instead of being anxious, he says, hey, why don't you just pray? The Spirit of God helps our infirmities. He's interceding in us. He's guiding us to pray. He's guiding us to pray. And he directs us how to pray. I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about how he guides us to pray. And if you take a moment and go to the book of Psalms, let's go to the book of Psalms. Many of the Psalms are prayers of David. And at the end of the first, one of the books of David, it says, the prayers of David are ended. And I want to just take a couple of minutes and look at some of the Psalms and see how the Holy Spirit directed, number one, directed David to pray, and what he directed him to pray. Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Well, that's a simple prayer. There's a simple prayer. He said, God, be my helper. Be my helper. He's in a different situation. Verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Well, he was in a place that he was in a place of readily being overcome by his enemies, whether it was Saul or someone else who had the ability to take his life. And God directs him to a simple prayer. Hear, O Lord, have mercy on me. Ever cried out a simple prayer? God, have mercy on me. Psalm 28. I just picked out a few verses here. Psalm 28. All in the same area there. Psalm 28. He prays. How does he pray? He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. We have answers here. The Lord is ministering to the heart of David and is telling him, oh, God is your strength. God's your shield. In this situation, you can say, save thy people, Lord. Simple prayer. Not very elaborate. He's, the Holy Spirit is directing to pray and how to pray. Psalm and verse 27. Did we get there? Psalm 27. The situation, verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. That's the situation. They stumbled and fell. That's what happened. But it was a pretty difficult situation. Verse 7, he prays a simple prayer. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Spirit of God directed him in this situation. Pray! Direct him how to pray. Very simple. Lord, hear me. Hear me. Have mercy on me. And we can see that. You can go through so many different psalms. And you see that there was just this simple cry from his soul that was put upon his soul as he looked to the Lord. The Spirit of God interceded in his being and directed in how he was to pray. What a tremendous thing it is. The Holy Spirit assists and aids us in our prayers. Wow. Now, as you think about this simple message, the Spirit of God has a ministry. A ministry in our life of intercession, helping us in our prayer life and to guide us in our prayer life and to give us confidence. Isn't that wonderful? If you turn with me to Ephesians 2, we want to look at that verse. In Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him, that's Jesus, we both Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit, the one and only Holy Spirit, unto the Father. This is the Trinity in prayer. This is Christian prayer. We, the saved, through Jesus Christ, have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. The authority to pray, our mediator, Jesus Christ. The ability to come to the very presence of the Holy God of Heaven, the Father. And it's by the Holy Spirit. And just as in the Trinity is of utmost necessity in salvation, so likewise the Trinity is utmost in prayer. You can't just pray to God. No. There's only one way to have access to God. That's through Jesus Christ. You know, the woman at the well, she was praying and worshiping. And Jesus said, you don't know who you're even worshiping. You worship, you know not what. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The religious leaders, they were praying in the temple. And Jesus said, he prayed with himself. He prayed with himself. The only one who could hear his prayer was him. Because only prayer can only get to God through Jesus. Amen? That's why we pray not as just a formula. Or a trite saying in Jesus' name. We don't say just in Jesus' name just because. It's because our prayers go to God through Jesus. And that does, there's no other way to get to God. You don't get to God through beads, and you don't get to God through some saint, and you don't get to God through any other means. You get to God. God is the Trinity, and that's how prayer goes. And so is salvation. Salvation is... They can't have salvation without the Trinity. You have a holy God who is just and holy. And sin has to be paid for. And only no sin can come into the presence of a holy God. If that's all there was, there would be nobody that would be saved. But God sent his Son from heaven. So that he could take on flesh, so he could die for our sin. And the Holy Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity, was able to make the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. An acceptable sacrifice, because he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. And it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who lifts up the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit who convicts people of their sin. And it's the Holy Spirit who empowers the Word of God and gives light to people's soul. And it is by the Spirit of God that a person who trusts Jesus Christ is born again into the family of God. The Trinity is the only God, the triune God is the only God that can save and does save. And those who do not have that God have no salvation. Because there's only one means that a holy God could be satisfied, his wrath be satisfied, is through the Holy Son of God, whose coming we rejoice in at this time of year. So, prayer life. Very, very significant thing. He helps us. He helps us what to do to pray. He helps us what to pray. He helps us how to respond. He helps us have confidence in prayer. It's the Spirit of God. And it's amazing, the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God in our life. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. Because prayer is born in the bosom of God. And the person who knows God through Jesus Christ has the Spirit of God within their soul. And that Spirit of God helps them in their infirmities as to what to do, pray, how to pray, and gives them utterance to God, whether it's as simple as to pray, "Help me, Lord. I don't know how I need help, but I need help." That's the Spirit of God. But the question is, as we think about it, do you have the Spirit of God? Only those that are saved have the Holy Spirit of God in their heart. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, what does man do? What does man do? I don't know what man does. Man tears their hair out. Man is frustrated. Man responds in anger. Man, whatever. Doesn't know what to do. Doesn't have that help that he needs. You know, many people never rise up above their infirmities because they don't have the helper that every man needs. That's the Holy Spirit who God sends into our soul. You know, isn't it great? Christianity doesn't have a caste system. You know, religion, one of the famous religions of the world, has a caste system. And you can't rise up above who you are. What a helpless life. Now, In my thinking, I know why they had a caste system, because they believe in reincarnation. And if you are born into a bad situation, that's your punishment for life. And you be good, and you, when they come back in the next life, you might be a step higher. You know what I'm saying? And that's a life without hope. And those people are flooding to the Christian nation, where it's still full of hope. Still full of hope till our government becomes so corrupt it's gone. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is bigger than all our infirmities. And and there is one who ministers to us. Now, how do you get the gift of the Holy Spirit? You get the gift of the Holy Spirit when you believe on the Lord Jesus. You don't get the Holy Spirit after you're saved and you're praying for the gift of tongues. No, that's a different spirit. The Holy Spirit, the only Holy Spirit there is the Holy Spirit that comes into your life the moment you are saved. If ye are sons, then ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you become a son of God, you get the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit, this truth that we're talking about has some practical lessons. A practical lesson is that as a believer, we should be constantly looking for the Holy Spirit, looking to Him in our infirmities. Looking to Him. It means a trusting, a turning, a depending. We ought to look to God. We ought to look to God. We ought to look to this Holy Spirit. You say to a child, they say, I can't. And if you are trying to raise your child with character, you say, can't's not in the vocabulary of this house. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. If it's right, we can do it. Amen? And don't say can't if it's the right thing to do. Because God always gives us the ability to do the right thing. But our infirmities, we need to look to the Holy Spirit. And we just need to stop there. Very simple message. Our humanness could overrule us. And we could say, well, I'd rather just delight in despair. Or we say, I just can't do anything. I'm hopeless. Whatever. You've all done it. We all are there, been there multiple times. We need to look to the Holy Spirit. He's there to help us in our infirmities. But then we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to listen. We look to Him. He is there ministering to us. We have to listen to Him. Most often, He is going to use the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And He's going to use the Word of God to direct us as to how to respond to this situation that we're in. And it's going to be more difficult for Him to minister to us if we're Bible ignorant, and even more so if we're willfully Bible ignorant, or if we filled our mind with psychology and human thinking so that the first thing that comes to our mind is some foolishness from man. But we need to listen to the Spirit of God. And He most likely will minister to us through the truths and the principles of the Bible. That's why we need to think biblically. We need to get our thinking from the Bible, and it needs to be so immersed into our mind that that's the process it goes through. The Bible can't be little frosting on top of the cake that's the last thing that comes to our mind. It has to be interspersed with our whole being so that we can listen to Him. And we listen to Him, and maybe I should have put this ahead of that. We ought to let Him work in our soul. Sometimes it takes some time to wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And maybe there's some sins in the way of the Spirit of God ministering to us, and we have to let Him work on us and get the junk out of the way, get the defilement out of the way, get our sinful responses out of the way. But then we need to obey him. We need to obey him. And it's pretty simple. He tells us how to pray. You know, it's almost like there's nothing else to do, right? What else is there to do? You know, it's really that simple, isn't it? I remember one time when we first bought the property where the farmhouse is, and it was terrible condition. We were so excited the Lord had given us a piece of property. And a preacher friend of mine and his wife, who was a great encouragement, we said, hey, come on, see what the property God has given us. And we showed it to them. We were telling them about it. They saw it. Barbara said to his wife, Stephanie, Claudia, on their way home, he said, you know, either they're crazy or they got great faith. Well, there wasn't really any choice but to have faith. You know? And in life, sometimes there's no other choice but to cry out to God. But cry out in faith. The Spirit of God has led you to pray. He's led you how to pray. Our prayer should be with the expectation that they're led of God. They should be led of God. Amen? And if they're led of God, we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And so, what a great truth that we have this continual ministry of the Spirit of God in our life. Yes, he leads us in righteousness. He gives us the assurance of salvation. He gives us that sense of belonging to the Father, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. He is the Spirit of life, and he gives us the power of the resurrection in Christ to live for him. And he gives us spiritual life that we love the Bible, and we love serving God, and we love living for God, and we love doing the things of God, and we love the house of God. He gives us spiritual life. But the Holy Spirit also helps us on our infirmities. Now, if you aren't saved, you're missing a lot. You're missing more than anybody could say. A boatload of blessings. You're all on your own. Without the Spirit of God, you're on your own. No wonder so many people are taking their life. They're so alone. They have no answers. It's a dark world. A dark world even made darker by our politicians. But the Christian has the Holy Spirit. Amen. Helps us in our infirmities. Maybe today, in your infirmity, the Spirit of God is just tugging at your heart. Tugging at your heart. You've been carrying the load yourself. You've been bearing the brunt yourself. You haven't known what to do or where to go, but you haven't been looking to the Holy Spirit. And your life has shown it. But the Spirit of God is there to help us in our infirmities. Just think of what we said. The Apostle Paul, he prayed 3 times. He figured, you know, 3 times, that's perfect, you know. That ought to answer my prayer. God says, no. You're praying for the wrong thing. You're praying for the wrong thing. He finally looked to God. God says, no, I don't want you to pray that way. This is how you're supposed to pray. And then when he listened to the Lord and started praying the way God wanted him to pray, he says, wow, this is great. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. As much as you can glory in any of your infirmities, you know that. As much as you can glory in them, as much as you can rejoice, because now he was experiencing the grace of God in his life. Take the truth as perhaps the Lord had it for you today. And don't let the devil defeat you. Don't be overcome by all our infirmities. We have an answer. It's real. And the Spirit of God will always be there. A well of life springing up into everlasting life. What a great source. What a great privilege to be a child of God. And you know, that's kind of the defining moment. That's really the difference between profession of faith in Christ and possession. Possession is when you have really repented and trusted Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in. And now He's there. And He's always there. And we can always turn to Him in our weakness. May God use that in our lives today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You for the tremendous blessing of knowing You. Lord, even in our youth of Christianity, or the newness of the experience of coming to You, Lord, in our weakness of growing, You're there to help us. Beyond our comprehension that the divine Spirit of God is there helping us carry the load of our infirmities. And Lord, what a great privilege that we have. Beyond really our comprehension of this great ministry of the Spirit of God in our souls. Being able to look to You, that You help us carry the load, that You intercede in our soul, in our groanings, and influence us as to how to pray and what to pray and to trust You in all the different circumstances of life. And Lord, we can only say what a wonderful salvation it is. What a wonderful salvation it is. And Lord, for those who are yet on the other side, might the Spirit of God show them the righteousness, the goodness of God, the goodness of the Spirit of God, the wonder of Christ, they might be drawn to flee to Him quickly and in full faith because You are such a good God. And so, Lord, pray that You would help that person today that needs to, has gotten the instruction in their spiritual life to learn to look to You, to look to lean upon You, to let You work in our soul, to listen to You even as You direct us, to pray correctly, and to get the help in our lives and the answers to prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps already you've done business with God. Maybe yet to be so. The Lord's putting this together in your life. Maybe it's just an incident that you have forgotten to turn to the Lord. Maybe it's been a bad habit of your Christian life to be glad to be burdened and anxious and have not learned to look to the Holy Spirit to give you the answers. The Spirit of God is speaking today, and why don't you just let God have His way? It can be so simple. He can so simply say, Lord, I'm going to look to You now. I'm going to stop depending upon myself. Perhaps you're here today, and right there in that pew, you need to see that you might, you don't have this living relationship with God. You need to get the real thing and call upon Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life by faith and repentance to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And you'll become a child of God, and the Spirit of God will be sent into your soul by God the Father, and you'll be able to delight in his ministry. And perhaps today the Spirit of God is speaking to you and say, Pastor, there's a need in my life. Just pray for me. I will respond correctly to the Lord today. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand and pray for you, okay? A number of different hands. Others, okay? Praise the Lord. God is speaking to my heart, and I need to just say yes to the Lord. Pray for me, Pastor, as we close the service. Lord, now you see the specific needs of the people of God. And Lord, we've received instruction. And now, Lord, we pray that you would do it. And you would do your work. And you would show yourself great. And Lord, these your people would look to you, listen to you, learn from you. And Lord, and find the victory, find the answer, know how to pray, and know that you will answer that prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you will do in each of these lives as they look to you in this special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.